Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paranormal Science.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Paranormal Science. I'm Joe Hawk.
I'm Stan Zurich.
And I'm Ed Mac Daddy Mac Ray.
All right, everybody. As we know, today's a very solemn, somber day in the world. In September 11th, it's our 15th anniversary. And I'm going to read everybody a poem on the air. And I understand this is Paranormal Science, but this all comes from all of our hearts here on Paranormal Science. And I think it just needs to be said. And just kind of listen to the words, and we're going to have a little moment of silence. Of all the creatures that live on God's green earth, all that spawn, lay eggs, and give birth, from the human, the lion, and the tiger, and even the bear, there's only one thing that all God's creatures share. They all move away from the sound of the gun. There is but one that will move towards and not run. That one singular creature that wears a human face. He brings both misery and joy to the human race. So who is the one that goes towards the sound of the gun when all other creatures, man and beast, turn and run? It is the warrior. That's who. The warrior is like no other creature. No other creature on this great earth bears that feature. I want to thank you all for letting me share that with you. It's just 15 years, and I remember like it was yesterday, and it's just it touches hearts. I lost some friends during that, and I'll tell you, I know we've all been touched, and the world has changed since then. But the one good thing is that it hasn't brought us down. We're back. We're better. New York built. We're here. Somerset. Somerset County, PA, Washington, D.C. We've all overcome, and we're still here. And if anybody listened to those words that we said here, and coming from a third-generation law enforcer, it's in my blood. Ed, you as well, a law enforcement officer.
Made us stronger, if anything, that day.
Stan, you being an EMS and that, and we've all lost, friends throughout the time and this and that. And that was just one heck of a day. And just the truth is so great in that poem is the fact that, these people are a cut above the rest, and I have to say that my heart, it goes out to their families, to the victims, and even the survivors. I was watching all the specials and stuff, and you're watching the survivors. They had the survivor's guilt, and I can't even imagine. But
you know, it brings back some of the feelings of that day.
Oh, sure. I was getting choked up reading it.
I can tell you were. And I'll never forget what I was doing that day.
Oh, I remember exactly where I was.
Clear as a bell. Yeah. It was that, you know, moving and tragic and everything all at once.
Where were you? Do you remember?
I was actually on Interstate 80. I was bringing a car. Well, one of the other guys back from work, we dropped the car off at Hazleton, and my wife called me from work. She was working at the facility, and at first, the way it sounded, it was like an amateur plane had hit the building.
Right.
At least that's what I took it up, because, you know, the news was sketchy, the reports coming in and everything.
Right.
Then by the time I got back to the station, that's when we knew something was really gone. Actually, before I even got the door, they were saying everybody had to return, you know, something big was going on, and I'll just never, the day alone, I remember how clear the sky was that day. It was a beautiful day for such a horrible, horrific act to take place.
Absolutely.
But I'll never forget it.
Stan.
I was standing on the corner by Sacred Heart Church in DuPont. My kids had just gone in through their, I dropped them off every morning.
Right.
They had just gone in for their classes, and a good friend of mine, Jerry Dahlman, his son had come down to get on the bus. He brought him down.
Right.
So me and him were just standing on the corner chatting away, like just friends, just right. talking, and we found out what happened.
Yeah, it's I'll tell you what, I was
going to ask, where were you at, and what were you doing?
Yeah, I was, thank you. I was actually, I was in the police academy, and we were, at the time, there was president and vice president of the classes. Now they have, you know, captain, commanders, whatever, but, you know, so I was vice president of the class, and I remember waiting, and they got word, I can't remember who the instructor was, but I remember... They dismissed us out of class and said, you know, go do something for now. Like, I guess they were trying to find out what was going on.
Get all the details.
And I remember we're sitting there, and then we went down to the, there's like a little rec room, rec area, and the class is pretty much watching it. And at the time, no one knew. Like you said, you know, everything was just so sketchy. But the thing is, we had it right there live on TV for us. Mm-hmm. So they're saying about how, you know, they're pretty sure it was a commercial airliner. That's what it's, you know, first reports, this and that, and everything's coming in. And we actually watched the live footage of the second airplane go in. And right then and there, just the feeling that came over me. Like, you knew. It wasn't even said at that point, but there's just no way. Like, I still get emotional thinking about it. There's just no way that was two accidents at
right.
once.
There was no. It was not a coincidence. So,
we didn't know
out.
It was, quote-unquote, terrorism at the time.
No.
But we definitely knew something wasn't right. You know what I mean?
Right.
They called us back. They dismissed us. And, of course, you know, everybody was just kind of in panic. I remember my dad was actually in New Jersey when it happened. He was driving truck at the time. My mom was home.
Trying to get home was probably horrific for him.
He knew he couldn't. So he just kind of, you know, dad... Of course, being the military background and stuff, he kind of called himself out, and you know, I guess the truck, quote unquote, broke down at that point, and Dad just kind of hunkered down where he had to, and that was it, you know. But it was just, it was surreal. It was surreal, and I remember the night before, I was riding around with my buddy Steve, and we were commenting on how the moon looked. It looked so huge the night before on September 10th. It looked so big and so close to the Earth. We were, I'll never forget it. We were commenting on it, like, wow, it just looks. So I don't know if that was almost like a preamble of, like, you know, because I mean, you know, it, again, you know, us, we're in the paranormal field, and you know, I look at that and I think to myself, like, I remember that was so abnormal to see. That moon, it just seems so close, so big, so white, so bright. And like you said, Ed, it was actually, you know, unfortunately, you know, a beautiful day.
You know what I remember a lot about that day? You said it was a beautiful day, blue sky, everything. Right after it happened, no planes in the air.
So
I lived
quiet.
Near the airport. It was silent. There was no comtrails, nothing.
The only thing you'd hear every now and then was maybe a military aircraft scrambling.
Yep.
I remember that.
I remember hearing
the
fighter jets once in a while.
And, that was it.
But I'll tell you what, and you're right, Stan, and how long was the no-fly on for, a few weeks after? And I remember, like...
Yeah.
It was a while.
Right, and the thing that you hear, the silence, because we get so used to it. You know, it's just auditory exclusion. We hear it all the time, so we kind of...
when it's missing.
When it's missing, you realize, wow, how tranquil it could be. Mm-hmm. I remember at one point, even the trains had stopped. They stopped everything. And, you know, of course, I live between the two tracks and that.
Oh.
And for once in my, you know, however old I was at the time, we'll be talking 15 years ago. So, you know, we're looking at, 25, 26, or it was. And I look at that and I think to myself, like, wow. Like, I never remember being this quiet. No air traffic, like you said, you know, no train going by. Mm-hmm. It's just like everybody was just in such a...
It's just a standstill.
Well,
my wife and I were talking about cell phones. I mean, cell phones were nothing what they are like this day. I mean, with the Android apps and everything, they were basic cell phones. I remember I'd be trying to call home And all circuits are busy. All circuits are busy. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Now, I station up in the Poconos, so I was fairly close. But the towers, it was almost impossible to make a cellular telephone call. And it was just the highways coming westbound were just an eerie quietness. It was almost like it was a midnight shift, but it was the middle of the day.
Right.
Eastbound, on the other, it was cars everywhere trying to get there. And the people that I had encounters with law enforcement, EMS, fire, news reporters, trying to get to the side of Delaware Water Gap.
Right.
It was just, I'll never forget it. It burns. And like you were saying, the moon night the night before. I cannot remember what I was doing the night before. I really can't. I was on a double back, obviously. Right. So I was working. Right. But the stuff that burned in your memory that we'll never forget this. It was such a tragic, horrific event. And I mean, just look at 2 years ago when we went to New York City.
Right.
And we went down to the memorial. When you walk on those grounds,
it's hallowed ground.
It is
There's
just.
There's no doubt.
It's just this eerie, calm, hallowed ground, like you said. It's just.
No doubt.
You could feel it when you're there.
Exactly.
I tell people to go visit that memorial just because of that.
And I'll tell you what, I refuse to mention the terrorist names because that just gives them power in their lands, and I refuse to do that. But I'll tell you what, I'll mention Todd Beamer. I'll mention all the heroic, you know, FNDY and NYPD and Transit Authority and every other, you know, EMS, fire and you know, emergency services, including U.S. Marshals. I mean, everybody was there. A friend of mine, you know, Aaron. I don't even know if I can say his last name, but a friend of mine, Aaron, was there. You know, during the incident, he was Black Ops and stuff. And these guys were involved. They were there. And just to hear him tell the stories, you know, and he's a good friend of mine. He's out in Louisiana. If he's listening, I'd love for him to call in and but just to tell the stories about what they saw and how people, you know, we all kind of look at, you know, everybody always has, you know, become cynical. Life makes you cynical sometimes, but in a time of need like that, how America came together and just helped each other, mm-hmm. you know, from all mm-hmm. over, not just New York. I mean,
right.
they were turning volunteers away, which is just phenomenal, in my opinion. Just mm-hmm. absolutely awesome.
The thing is, too, that a lot of people don't think about it. All these volunteers that went there that actually helped,
right.
a large percent of them had cancer, and they're the unsung heroes.
Right.
Those that may have died indirectly from this,
yep.
right? Same thing with most of the search and rescue dogs. I think
I was gonna
almost
bring that,
all of them are dead.
I was going to bring that up.
Some type of cancer or some type of illness.
That was from the construction materials. It was just believe.
Well, they're not sure. I mean, it could have been anything. I mean, you know, it could have been, you know, asbestos in the air. Mm-hmm. It could have been the jet fuel. Could have been something they had on board. No one still knows. I mean, that's unfortunately one of the things. Right.
I mean, when that came down, it just pulverized everything. So whatever was
there. It was just so dust. And not only that, not for nothing, and not to get, you know, horrific, but I mean, we're human. We get cremated. I mean, you're looking at 16,000 degree fires. I mean, to melt and burn and distort steel. I mean, what do you think that happened to the body? Mm-hmm. That was it. It was
vaporized.
Just, that's it, you know? And it's a shame. And, you know, I want to, you know, and God bless, my heart goes out to any and all that had any family members or any friends or anything that lost. I know I did. And I remember, you know, Olive Truck Rescue 1, Truck 4, ESU. I knew a couple of those guys, and a friend of mine actually has a picture of the guy from ESU Truck 4, Johnny,
mm-hmm.
and he's actually waving to him out the window. Little did he know that's the last time he'd ever see him. So it's like, that's a moment of time captured.
You hear those stories there.
You know, it's just so surreal. It really is.
Now, my wife lost her cousin. She was in one of the towers that day. I never had the opportunity to meet her, but yeah, she was down when we were at the memorial. Her name is in the stone there, engraved and everything. And it's just, you bring it home. Like, I've never met the woman, but, you know, my wife did, obviously. It was her cousin.
Right.
But, I mean, it touched home there, especially for my wife. And
I'll tell you, if anybody has any stories they'd like to share, we're more than willing to hear it tonight. We're open. Of course, we're going to get started talking about some stuff that Stan brought here to talk about that. But I just wanted to say, you know, God bless everybody. Our thoughts and prayers are with everyone. And God bless America.
You know, while we're on that note, I remember last year when we were up at Geneseo, that one gentleman ended up speaking with that actually worked in the basement
of the Tower 1.
Yep, and he was there doing some electrical work, I think it was.
Yep.
And he was getting some, I guess he was an amateur, you know, medium.
Mm-hmm.
And he was getting all different types of energy and everything. And I mean, you could see the emotion in him. Yep. He did not even want to repeat what he was feeling and coming through to mm-hmm. him in that basement area. I mean, and you could tell it wasn't made up. It was real. I don't know his true capabilities. I don't think he really told us, just that he was like an amateur at it.
Right.
But, I mean, that must have been hard for him working in there. He was with the union electricians. I remember that.
And, you know, now mind you, just so everybody's aware, that he came in actually after to help rebuild. So he wasn't technically working there prior to.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was going to ask about that.
This is during the restoration. They brought his team or whatever went in, his company. I don't remember even who he worked for, to be honest with you. But he just said, like, you know, I can't imagine the emotion he went through. Because if he was sensitive like that, especially at that time, everything was just so fresh. I mean, you know, we always talk about, and I'll relate to Gettysburg, you know, traumatic events in Gettysburg, you know, that was a war, of course, but we all talk about the traumatic life. These people, I mean, they just went to work. Most of them just went to work. Whether they're on the you know, and I say victim as in those that worked in the towers, or whether they're on the emergency service side, they just went to work that
rushing
day.
In to do their job to save these people.
They just went to work. And horrible, absolutely horrible. But enough of that. Anybody wants to call in, we just want to honor them. They definitely deserve that. And we just had to, especially on this day.
God bless.
So we're actually going to take a break. When we come back, Sam will talk about the little bit of stuff that you brought in.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Mark Hives from Paranormal Science. Did you ever get that feeling like you have 1,000 demons tearing at your back? You know the pain. Are you uncomfortable in your own body, like you're possessed with somebody else's torment and suffering? You don't need an exorcist. You need chiropractics. Dedicated to providing the best chiropractic and rehabilitative care possible, Chiropractics will get you back into the body you remember. Chiropractics, 569 Pier Street, Kingston, PA. Check them out on the web, getchiropractics.com, T-I-X on the end, or call 570-288-5800 and get back to living.
Welcome back to Paranormal Science. I actually got a call while we're on break. We'll take that first. Mike from Wilkes-Barre. Welcome to the show, Mike. Hello, Mike. Mike, you there? Hello? All right, well, we're going to have to...
Mike,
if you're still listening, somehow we must have lost you, so give a call back. Sorry about that. All right, So Stan, Stan was doing a little
research.
Yeah,
seems like that's my job. I always do the research.
That's good.
I'm doing an awesome job. I'm here for moral support.
All right, I got two things. We're gonna start off with one. Wessie sheds her skin. Mange giant snake reappears.
Wessie, you know that one.
And that's the one that Bill Brock just did a TV show on that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bill Brock, and of course, if you want to see him, he'll be at East Coast Paracon.
September 24th.
That's right.
Bill will be there.
Yeah, and he'll be talking probably about Wessie, too.
Mm-hmm. Tickets are still available on the East Coast Paracon website as well.
Yes, they are. Well, I'm a public service announcer over here. I love it.
I have to interject.
That's right. No, this big snake, apparently, it's like our Sherman. Everybody says they see it. There's no information. There's no thing that anybody can say it's there. Nobody had pictures of this thing. All of a sudden, the 20-some-foot skin shows up where this thing shed.
Wow. That's awesome. 20-some feet.
Does somebody have this skin? Do they take it?
I guess they did. I'm not sure who took it, but I'm sure somebody did.
It's got to be immense in size. It's, you know...
I mean, 20 feet.
That's a big... I mean, anacondas and all that, they get big in that, but...
They do.
That's got to be... Just seeing the shed for that.
Right. Exactly.
You imagine... I mean, what does this thing eat?
Apparently anything it wants.
I guess
it 20
could.
Foot. I mean,
you grab a deer. You know,
most reptiles. I mean, when he does, right, he grabs a deer. But by the time he digests it and stuff, that's probably like a good week and a half. So they don't feed too often.
They need something.
But a 20 footer's got to feed on something pretty, pretty big.
Especially for that size. I mean, geez.
Well, I mean that goes I just said. Now we've got Sherman here. They've got Nessie over in Scotland.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. These are things people keep saying. Oh, they don't exist. Well, they're saying this thing didn't exist. Now.
And they're finding the shed from it.
Yeah.
Well, what do we always say? Even when we have the Bigfoot guys on this and that, everybody's like, well, you never found a skeleton. You didn't find this. How many bear skeletons did you find in the woods?
That's right.
I mean,
you're right.
There's always something that we don't know about. Let's be honest. We can't. We're just too populated and too big to know.
Well, look how many species in the ocean they're saying, oh, it's distinct a million years. And wait, we found one.
Exactly.
Well, getting out to the ocean, like you're saying, what do they call it? The Kraken.
Right.
The old wooden ships used to say that the Kraken would come up and get you. Kraken. Right. They drew all these pictures of this giant octopus thing coming up.
Yeah.
they're finding out they exist.
Giant octopus.
They do come up.
Did you see that one special actually had a huge suction cup on the side of the boat? Did you see that?
Oh, no.
It had the damage of the huge. It literally was like, I can't remember. Like, I think bigger than a dinner plate or whatever. It was huge. Wow. On the side of the boat. Just.
That's it. These things do exist.
You just can't see them all the time. It's not like they're presenting themselves for a photo shot, you know?
Exactly. You know, I think we have Mike back on the line here.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I had phone difficulty there.
That's all right. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Well, I had a terrible premonition about New York a long, long time ago. I was working. I was in the Teamsters Union, had to stay late loading trucks and everything. Other guys with seniority would vacate, and I'd be there. So anyway, on the way home after working like 11 hours, this is before the DUI laws and everything, too. You could stop at the local pub and catch two or three beers before you come home, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the bar is only like down half a block from the house, and I come home and I greet my mother. My mother was always watching TV, and she was fascinated with New York and New Jersey about Channel 11, Channel 5, Channel 9, remember the old cable channels?
Right, picks.
And about all the crime and everything in New York, all the crazy people, the squeegees, this and that. You know, it was really getting bad there before Giuliani cleaned it up. So anyway, Bishop O'Connor left this area.
Oh, wow, that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, and he went out to St. Pat's Cathedral there.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Remember all the weirdos were chastising him the first day he went out there? So anyway, it was the same day I come home, and it was in a winter day. It was like January or February. It's a long time ago. And my mother says, come here, Michael, look, watch TV, look at the Bishop O'Connor left the area, he's out there, look what how they're giving it to him already, not even 1 or 2 days he's out there. And I looked at the TV, and I told mother, I says, mark my words, I was honest to God, I said, someday terrorists are going to come over and destroy half of New York City.
Wow.
And she remembers when that happened, she says, I remember you telling me that.
Mike, what made you think that? Was that just something that popped in your head, or did you have like some type of...
I looked at the TV, and I just looked, and I just said it. But
so,
anyway...
So it was just spontaneous.
Michaels
that
are, like, with me, I was born the day before the Knox disaster, and when the flood hit in 72, Michael Riley was born. That was the baby day of the with the helicopter out of Nesbitt Hospital. And when this happened, the same day... There was another Michael born by the name of, the mother was Jeannie Cantelli over in Wyoming, and she named him Michael.
Okay.
It's something, huh?
It is. It
really is, you know?
It's just,
I feel terrible about saying something like, but it did, it just, it popped in my head and I said it, you know? And,
well, it's one of those unexplained things, just
right? It just
pop out like that.
It's unbelievable, like, you know, like...
Well, we talk about that all the time. It's like, it's sputtering utterances, you know, it comes into your head and you just kind of have to say it.
But you say about prophecy,
you know?
And like, from ancient millennia years ago, like the prophets and stuff like that, how, you know, they would... Somebody has to be guiding somebody to say something like that, you know, like... To say something like that. That's my opinion anyway.
Well, I agree. I mean, you wonder where do these thoughts come from, especially so many years before? I mean, why would, you know, terrorism wasn't even remotely
a thought. But I remember I walked in the house, she had a big pot of cabbage and bean soup made for lunch. And I come in, and I was up in Mayfield at the time. I took my break with my company truck, and I was washing it. And when I come home for lunch that day, but she says, I remember you telling me that.
Wow.
No, that's you know, I just thought, you know, well, I'm getting older too. If I die off, and you don't tell people these stories, nobody's ever going to hear them. You know,
hey, that's all right. That's what we're here for, man.
You know,
I love to share the stories.
Anything,
I appreciate
bad.
That.
I wouldn't even step on a grasshopper on the sidewalk. That's how I'm just meek and mild. I never would wish anything bad on nobody. You know,
it's like deja vu. Same thing.
Yep. So,
deja vu, but yours out.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, okay, guys.
All right. Hey, Mike. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks,
man,
for calling.
We appreciate that.
Bye.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Calling.
I always like to hear people's personal stories like that. And like Mike said, you know, if you don't, you know, if you look at anything, people are going to look at you differently because you shared something, this and that. Hey, you know what? We've all had, I'm sure, incidents that we just can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if we don't believe in the paranormal, there's nobody out there that's going to sit there and tell me that they didn't
consider
have.
The imagery before, during, and after that was released.
Oh, that's just, exactly, Stan. Absolutely.
I mean, people that even had mild, you know, right. intuitions about anything. The energy that was there just pushed them over the edge.
It was like the antennas went up.
That's it.
Well, yeah. And you think about that, like you said, anything, you know, like we said earlier, anything traumatic like that. I mean, and the trauma that was, I mean, look at how many individuals, all those lives were lost at once, mm-hmm. literally. I mean, granted, there was probably some over days, this and that, but the majority was lost during the
fall. Within
falls.
Seconds, says, yeah.
You're right, so all that energy was displaced within seconds, like mm-hmm. you said, within seconds. It's amazing.
These people, it goes back to Gettysburg, where we have all the hauntings, all the right. ghosts. I'm waiting to see what shows up there, only because these people didn't even realize they were killed.
Right.
And how long ago was that? 101 yeah. years.
Gettysburg, right, yeah. 154.
This is 15 years later.
Right.
I mean, just try to put that into perspective. I mean, the amount of lives that were lost there.
Right. Don't get me wrong. I'm not promoting to go down there and do anything.
No, I'm just not bringing that into perspective.
I had to throw that out there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's just, not. You know. But I just, you know, you're right, Stan. I just wonder. I truly wonder.
You said it, the energy there alone, all at one time. It's unfathomable.
But getting back to Wessie. Now, didn't when Bill Brock, I know he was streaming live there for a little bit on mm-hmm. Facebook. Did he actually, like, there was a huge splash or something, right? I remember watching the one.
They thought
right.
they found
did
it,
Did you
right.
see that? Right, yeah, yeah.
Well, they've also got reports from police officers. The one police officer put in his report that he watched a large snake, a large black-colored snake,
right.
eating a beaver. Huh. Now, beavers are pretty good. They go 45, 55 pounds.
Right.
Right? And right. there was this large snake devouring the thing.
Wow. Just a beaver and one devour. I can't imagine that. You know what I mean? Like, because beavers are pretty thick. I mean, they're, mm-hmm. You know, well, of course, I mean, I guess, I don't know if it's, 20. I still, it's
unfathomable. Once that coil around, I don't think it has a chance once it coils.
No, right.
They're so strong, you know. Yeah. I mean,
that's my assumption anyway. It's a constrictor snake, I'm assuming, right?
Right.
I mean,
I guess it's not really saying what kind of snake it is at all.
Well, sure, because they've never seen it. They don't know what it is, right?
Something that size, I'm
assuming, right.
It's not your run-of-the-mill little black snake in the backyard.
Right. No. Or even if it was venomous, that's one heck of venom. I mean, this probably is a coil snake.
Yeah.
Or a constrictor, I mean.
Constrictor, yeah.
Yeah.
I would not want to be within its coils, though. That's for darn sure.
Well, that's just it. I mean, that poor beaver, when it was constricting it, I mean, I can't even imagine that.
I mean, this surprised me because I talked to my sister a lot about snakes down in Florida because they have a problem with the different types of boas.
They have some that are non-native that have been introduced in the ecosystem.
And they've reproduced in the ecosystem.
God. And it's making
that's dangerous.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Dangerous.
Because they've got the perfect environment down there and they have no enemies, nothing to devour them.
I actually had the chance and opportunity to work with an environmentalist that used to go down there to help try to get these out of there.
Oh, really?
But you can't.
And these snakes, because they're wild, people release them and they're breeding out there. They're just nasty, and they're big. And that one time they had that freeze come through.
Right.
And the freeze did eradicate a small portion mm-hmm. because of the temperature drop when it was down there in Florida. But these people, when they do that, they shouldn't have these animals. They're letting them go in the wild. They're reproducing with other ones. And now you're getting all these different species that have no business being in Florida.
Well,
these things have been seen eating alligators.
See, people think, right. So you tell me. And people think, oh, that's harsh to say and this and that, but everything belongs to a certain place. When you start displacing that, like you said, they don't have the for it to attack an alligator. I mean, obviously the food source is not there. It didn't belong there. It's not mm-hmm. naturally put there. So if it eradicated some, then by all means, good. Because you know what? I won't want my child or my, you know, my pet or, right. you know, especially my child outside. And if it's killing and eating
alligators. What could it do to a small child?
Yeah, what's it going to do to your toddler, God forbid?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. People are letting these things go in the woods. They'll have a pet, and all of a sudden it's 8 foot, 10 foot long.
It's too large for them to take care of.
They don't know what to do with it.
So
right, exactly.
They turn it loose. And what frightens me is that if there's one living up in Maine, there could very well be one living right here.
Hey, if they could hunker down, find warmth for the winter.
If they could survive for the winter.
That's it. The biggest thing is survive in the winter. Didn't mm-hmm. they have somewhere actually up here where there was an alligator living in a pond locally? Somebody turned one free?
Was it?
Yeah, I remember something, but I don't think it made it through the winter. I think it was just...
I'm not sure, but I know there was one resident.
There was piranhas over in Duryea in the swamps.
Pennsylvania alligator, Pennsylvania, you know, piranhas. So where are they at? They were over in what, Southeast Asia or wherever?
Yeah.
I mean, but they were in there.
Not even on this continent.
This water was just warm enough because it's mine water.
Yep. Now, did they make it through the winter, do you know? Right.
56 degrees, constant temperature coming out of the mines.
Yeah.
That's true.
If a snake went down in there, it could ball up for the winter.
Oh, man, that's scary even thought about it.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, I fished over in the swamps. That would be one heck of a thing. Oh, I got a bass on, pull out a red-bellied piranha chewing at your fingers, you know?
Ooh, yeah, we don't need that. Anyway, back to snakes. There's also stories of snakes down in, believe it or not, they have snakes in Gettysburg.
Really? I believe
who
that.
Who would have thought that?
Yeah, I believe that, yeah, sure.
Big snakes, big black snakes, 8-10 foot long.
Oh, black racers?
Big black mean snakes down there.
Well, I lived in Maryland. They were huge, too. My God, you see them crossing the road. They'd be halfway, three quarters across the road.
Yeah, they
and Devil's Den is a prime location for them, which makes,
sure
a, lot
makes
a lot of sense. That whole field, the whole area is all stone.
It's all rock. Right, it's all rock. It's all stone.
Little crevices they can get down in.
I think rattlesnake down that way or no? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm going to read. Now, here's an article that comes from September 1881. It's called Famous Snake. It was when I did my information. This was part of it. In September 1881, the shy black snake of Round Top was seen by Hiram Warren, who states that its length to be 15 foot.
Wow.
Right? For over a quarter of a century, this reptile has been known to reside in the neighborhood. Rattlesnakes having as many as 16 rattles are found among the younger
rattles.
Ones. Yep.
Wow, so there must be down that way, rattlesnake.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there is. It's rattlesnake country. Right. In August 1876, a turtle was found near Round Top.
I believe that.
IP, 1825. Now, turtles can live 100 years plus.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I see them crossing the road. Those, what are they, wood turtles or whatever they are?
And then it goes on to say, locusts visit the county in 1834, 1851, 1868, making their headquarters in this township at every visit.
So 1881, that snake, that big black snake, was down there coming out of the Round Top.
Yeah,
right.
Imagine that, a 15-foot black snake.
That's a big snake.
That's especially a black snake. I mean,
it's like 2.5 of me tall.
You know,
right?
I wonder about that. Nowadays, you see a snake that's 4 or 5 foot, people are going to chop its head off. They'll kill it.
Oh, yeah, they're deathly afraid.
Right. Now, down there, you're talking out in the middle of the fields. There might be one house
every
10 miles.
That's all it was, a farm then, too.
Right?
Yeah.
So maybe these snakes, maybe they do grow that big. We just never let them.
You're right. Good point.
Well, you know what, too? The farmers always leave the black snake go. They're taking care of the rodents around the farmhouse and everything like that.
Absolutely. Right. You're right. We looked at creatures a lot different than we do now. Mm-hmm. You know, now we look at it, though, that, you know, they're invading our homes when technically mm-hmm. we've invaded theirs for how long now? And that's one of the biggest things. We learned to live with them back then because it was part of nature. Now we just destroy what we don't necessarily mm-hmm.
well,
want in our
even,
homes.
You could even go with the serpent, like biblical.
Correct.
The serpent being evil, the devil's form.
Right.
And, I mean, a lot of people put that mentality in. That's why they must die, especially if they're of some sort of religion that, you know, preaches where the devil is the snake.
Right. I mean, I know a lady that swears if a snake ever comes to her house, she'll move. That's it. And mm-hmm. she goes, I ever find a snake, I'm out of here. The house is cursed.
Yeah,
she believes. I've never heard that before.
She believes that, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you, though. I guess my house is cursed because I remember when I was a kid, we had gardeners all inside my garage. I'm telling you.
Well, you got a garage door that opens up. They can, as they get their head in there, they'll slither right under.
That's what I mean, you know. But
I went around the back of my garage 2 weeks ago and I was cutting the grass. I was trying to catch it, but it was too fast. It was a small, but a foot and a half long. Didn't want to stay still. Got under rocks and he was gone.
He's gone.
Well, they've been telling me lately up in my neighborhood. Now, again, everybody knows I live up in Suskin. There's a lot of construction going on up in there.
And, a lot of hognose up there, too.
A lot of rattlesnakes lately.
Rattlesnakes? They're coming down further or what?
Well,
I heard they're in somebody's driveway and stuff.
My neighbor just killed one recently.
Wow. Right? Accidental, right?
Yeah. Accidentally killed a rattlesnake, right? Okay. There's supposedly, years ago, a friend of mine was one of those people that goes and knocks in the rattlesnake roundup, and he said one of the biggest rattlesnake dens in the state. He wouldn't tell me where, other than it's between Pittston Township and Moosic.
Really?
He said, there's rumors up that way. There's loads of them.
He said there's loads of them in there. It's a big den. Mm-hmm. Now, recently, they blasted out the whole top of a mountain back there.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
And FedEx, I think, leveled the whole area, along with TJ Maxx did what they did back
there. Oh, up with this new pasture road and everything, area.
That's halfway between Suskin and
oh, man, Moosic. I hope not. I mean, a lot of people checking their their basements and their beds.
What was it years ago when they were doing the Montage Mountain?
They still do.
They still do.
They have to run the sandbags down the slides.
But when they were building even the stadium, they were saying there was contractors staying. The loaders would be picking up earth, and there'd be snakes just falling on them. There's so many back in that rocky area there. Yeah. But to this day, like you both said, they have to do the snake check on the slides from a Montage as the summer thing opened up there.
Yeah,
or Snow Mountain, whatever it is at this time. But
yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, seriously,
most people don't realize that. Like Stan said, they throw the sandbag down in case anything's sitting there, and have to just pick it on.
Knock it off the slide.
Yeah, you have to. What are you going to do?
Can't send the first kid down. There's a sacrificial kid. Just slide them down the slide. You're first.
Yeah, if we were up there, you guys would send me down the slide, wouldn't you? See, Ed.
I can see it now. They'd all be in line. Okay, who wants to be getting free? And here's what you have to do.
Here, take this stick and go down.
Oh, man.
You take the broom and sweep it out on the way down.
Could you imagine that?
I would be clawing the slide to get back up if I saw a rattlesnake just smirking at me.
No way.
You know they're going to win.
I think, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the other half of this.
Sounds good.
We'll be back.
Warning. This program may contain material that is controversial to some listeners. Spontaneous enlightenment may occur.
All right. Welcome back, Paranormal Science.
Believe that.
We actually... I think we may have a caller coming in, but Stan, if you want to start with that.
Yeah, the one that definitely is on the paranormal side.
Let's go.
Okay, we've all talked about over the years, we've talked about shadow people,
mm-hmm.
which we know what that is. It's just a dark figure.
Yep.
Walks across, flies across, whatever. There's a new one. I don't know if you want to call it new, but another one called the Hat Man.
I've heard of that one.
I've never heard of that before.
I have not either.
Yeah, the Hat Man is basically... It's a shadow person, but when you look at the shadow, it's got some type of a hat on it.
Be it a top hat, cabbie hat, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's the difference. I don't know if it behaves any different, if it does anything different.
Well,
but if you have a shadow in your house and it's wandering around with a hat on, then you've got a hat man.
Yes.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
We've had occasion of that in my residence, the hat man.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's
my
right.
My son and his girl happened to be, one late evening, she screams so loud, woke my wife and I up from our sleep. Thought it was horseplay going on, and here it was. They saw the Hat Man shadow in our kitchen area.
So they did see something with a hat?
Yes.
How about that?
Yep, and that was about 3 years ago. I know my grandson wasn't born yet, so it was about 3 years ago.
Isn't that something? How many different things? I mean, you've got Hat Man, you've got the Black Shadow, you've got the Men in Black, you've got black-eyed children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the common denominator is black.
Right, exactly. Black eyes, black shadows, whatever it may be,
And in fact, I think my son saw that shadow. I asked you, and you were the one that related to me at that time that the color of the shadow...
Isn't necessarily...
Doesn't have any real significance if it's an evil entity or something. Right. It's how it presents
itself. Hollywood would like us to think that if it's dark, it's negative, but that's not true.
Yeah.
So, this is...
How the energy is coming through.
Absolutely, right. And not only that, it could be a fourth-dimensional creature entering our third-dimensional world, and that's the only way that our mind picks it up, because we can't see in four dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So we may see it as a flash or a shadow and stuff. So it's not always a bad thing, per se, that it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the problem. People look at it, it's dark, and automatically assume...
Black is evil. Hollywood effect.
That's it.
Yeah.
I have a ghost in my house, it's bad.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just because of that, and that's not true. Yeah. We actually have a caller, Joe from Nanticoke. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Welcome, Joe.
Hello.
Hello.
First time caller, regular listener.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, Joe. We appreciate that.
When I was a kid, I remember a man's name. His name was Frank Buck, and his motto was bring them back alive.
Hmm.
What he did was went to different countries and brought back animals for circuses.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever country or native village he was in, there was a picture he had. I'm saying this had to be in the 40s, the late 40s, 50s, maybe. I really can't say.
Okay.
Okay.
But this most likely probably was an anaconda.
Oh, really?
Now, the natives had this pig in a bamboo enclosure. Now, this pig was huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it had to be over 300 pounds.
Wow. That's a lot of bacon.
Right. Now, once this snake went in, and he constricted that pig, and he swallowed it.
Really? That's a big snake.
But there was one thing he couldn't do.
Digest it.
No. He couldn't get out of the cage.
Oh.
He was now the circumference of a pig.
That big.
Right.
But the bamboo slats, the tubes that was made out of it was wide enough for him to get in. But I'll never forget that picture of that snake.
Wow. Powerful.
Big. I mean, in Florida in the last, I don't know how many years, just the last 2 years, that they found a white-tailed deer inside of an alligator.
I seen that one, yes.
Yeah.
Right. And then, the alligator, that was about, I don't know how big the alligator was, but It was already decayed inside of it, and they said it was pretty big for that type of snake.
Wow.
So you don't know anacondas grow?
Oh, I'm not even sure. They're big animals. They get fully...
I mean, 20 foot long. I've seen different picture, you know, different on 44.
Uh-huh.
That they were trying, there's these man and wife that go whatever country they're in trying to find the biggest. They go and catch them by hand.
Huh.
Some have, I guess, their...
zero fear?
I wouldn't do it. Pictures or whatever, but they have them with those tracking units inside of them.
Oh, the satellite tag things.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, okay, right.
So they fly over the helicopter, and they recapture these to see how much more they would have grown. But nothing like that with that. The man's name was Frank Buck, and I guess his situation was his motto was bring them back alive.
And nice. He'd bring them back here to the States from whatever native country they came
right,
through.
Right, I guess for the circuses and for display.
That was his job, right? Yeah.
And
but he wasn't releasing them into our wild,
no,
though. He
no,
was doing
no.
it for a profession.
No.
For
this was just more for, like, the circuses and probably
science.
Animal farms.
Right, awesome. Lots of
I remember you had a man on talking about he saw the wolf-like man, like, in 95?
Yes.
Yes.
He was deer hunting?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I would have wanted to ever know, like, when I could see, like, the first week of deer season, there's a lot of hunters. But the second week, it sort of cools off.
Right.
Calms down a little in the woods.
Right, and I don't, you know, never, when I heard a story, I don't know if it was wintertime, or it had to be in December.
Yeah.
Because of the season, but if there was snow on the ground, I guess there wasn't.
You know, that's a good question. If it was the first or second week of buck season.
Right.
How active the woods were.
Well, Johnson. He did give me pictures of the footprints.
Oh, he did? Okay.
So there was no snow.
There was no snow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But do you recall if that was the first or second week of buck?
That I don't recall.
That's the thing. I mean, the first week, you know, it pressures, but...
Oh, yeah, it's hot. You know, the deer
on,
are going nuts.
The second week already, you know, it... And but, like you said, they're big woods up there.
Yes.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, you're talking 18 miles of nothing.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Exactly. And plus also, you know what, though, you know, thinking about it, depending on how they feed, you know, if someone did take a shot at a deer and say it was wounded or it already died, maybe he was going to retrieve the carcass, too. I mean, you know what I mean?
Could have
you
been
know,
a free lunch for that thing. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so
right.
kind of like an opportunist, you know.
Like but that's right. When I was thinking
right.
about it,
right.
I
to his feeder.
I really didn't remember him saying, you know, I heard the story, and that was a while ago that he was on.
Right.
It was Sean, right?
Sean. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And I know he said he walked like a good 45 minutes to the place where he was hunting. And the type, you know, the time of day, he didn't, you know, state or if there was snow, which obviously there was no snow on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But like they say, seeing is believing.
That's it.
Absolutely.
You know what? That little bit of snow is like the first day of buck. Makes everything just light up more. Cause, so could you imagine if there was that, you know, that little bit of snow on the ground and it just popped out even more and more
right.
in detail?
That would have been perfect.
Oh,
right.
God, yeah. Now, that being said, you know, I hunt in that general area myself. So, you know, ever since hearing Sean talk about that, I'm looking over my shoulder a little more, you know, often.
It mm-hmm. makes you think.
Yeah, it does. I mean, could it be there? You know, is it watching hunters in the woods that are in its area, its habitat?
You're in their home.
That's it. And you won't
exactly.
see them.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want, if they don't want you to see them, they're going to do their best so you don't know they're there.
And locally in Nanticoke right now, the bears are like on the prowl.
You know what? They're active all over.
Yeah. They're all over because there is no food.
Well, that's just it.
There's no acorns falling yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's still too hot.
We have regulars. We just saw one 3 or 4 days ago, a younger one that must have been thrown out by its mother after they get so big that they have their other young to
attend to, yeah.
Right. So these, the smaller ones, they have to go and start looking for themselves.
Mm.
But there's also one about, I must say, he's over 300 pounds.
Well, that's wow. a biggie.
Yeah, he's good size.
And there was just one in the, I think it was the Georgetown area. It was in a man's backyard. He called it Sydney, his pet. And he says he is a 600 pound or better.
Oof.
Wow.
And he also did $1,250 worth of damage on his truck, the Jeep, he said.
Oh, really?
That's a good friend.
Yeah.
Well, he has something in there he wanted, I guess, huh?
Hey, with friends like that, who needs enemies, right?
Right.
Well, yes. guys. Well, keep up the good show.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank
I appreciate
you
listening. Listen.
Have a good night.
Yes, thanks so much.
You know, whenever I see a bear in the woods when I'm all hunting, and I feel graced and blessed because they're just that
they're
elusive
rare.
Animal.
It's a beautiful animal.
It comes back, and you can relate with the Indian heritage.
Right.
It's the spiritual thing of that bear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the energy. It's all about the energy.
Hey, Joe, before we move on, well, we only have a few minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about Paracon.
Everybody should be there.
Everybody should be there.
I hope so.
Tickets are on sale.
That's right. Everybody listening should be there. No. Yeah, we have advanced tickets on sale, so it's $8, $10 at the door, $8 pre-sale.
Just go to our website, right. eastcoastparacon.com.
Right. We're going to have got a bunch of vendors. Of course, you know, this, the marketplace, not mall, the marketplace at Steamtown, formerly known as the mall at Steamtown, is going to, you know, they're giving us three rooms. We're not sure yet. We may be having two close by, one to relocate, but we're going to definitely have three rooms there. And it's going to be fun. We've grown. My God, if anybody was there last year.
It's bigger.
We've got over a dozen psychics.
Right.
We've got probably 15, 20 different teams, which teams are investigation groups. They go out.
Right.
We have probably close to 30 different vendors.
That's awesome.
Right. So we're really...
So we've grown.
We've grown,
and it's because of our listeners. It's because of our fan base, you know, and it's because of, you know, East Coast Paracon. I know we've all been out there at one point in time, going to the other Paracons, and, you know, beating feet and trying to, you know, get our contacts out there and that, and
there's something for everyone.
That's
there.
It. I mean,
there is.
We've got Lila's lollies.
Yep.
You want candy? You want
lollipops. And they're for a great
homemade,
cause.
Homemade, good cause.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome price.
We've got, I'm trying to think of the name of the back mountain crystals.
Stone. Yes.
Right. Great, great people. If you're looking for any type of stone, fossil, crystal, or anything at all like that, gemstones.
That's the place to go.
They'll have them.
Now, are we going to have those essential sprays as well?
We are, actually. Urban Post is going to be there with the Hawk spray, I might add.
Ah.
And all her,
two thumbs
her,
up.
Her, that's right. All her other essential oils and sprays, and she not only has that, but she has the sage and the pimento and the whole nine yards. I mean, she
Did
has
you
a
say
bunch
pimento?
Of pimento. No.
I thought you said pimento.
Did I? I may have. Well, she may have that, too. I don't know. But
might be on the list. She has quite an assortment, and that may be there.
That could be it.
And they are quality made.
Now I totally forgot the word I was supposed to say that.
Moving on.
Our good friend Robert Schwartz will be
pause.
There.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Robert resident Schwartz. UFOlogist.
He'll be there. Right. We have a couple of other. Tom Conwell, he'll be there. He's another UFOlogist. He's from MUFON.
Yeah, he's from MUFON, right? Yeah.
Right. Obviously, you mentioned Bill Brock earlier.
Chris DeChesre, our good friend Chris.
Hello, Chris, if you're listening tonight, he is a regular listener as well.
He is.
Yeah. Called in a couple weeks ago, spoke with me and Sand.
J. Jeff Unger, Mark Katrina, of course.
Yep.
From
great people.
Yep. Oh, awesome.
That movie
people.
Was awesome.
And it is. They're going to actually do another one, I believe. So
outstanding.
Mary Barrett will be there. And
she'll be doing the hypnosis, right, Stan?
Past life regression of a special guest.
Past life regression, ladies and gentlemen.
You've heard it done live here on the air.
And now come see it live.
Back four
I
out
won't
of the
miss
seven
it.
Lives. Four out of the seven lives we did on the air. She's going to try and get me to have the other three come out on the stage.
I want to hear them all over again.
Almost
I'm
call
sorry.
It Steamtown. It's not the Steamtown. So used to call it.
Well, the marketplace is Steamtown.
The marketplace.
Yeah.
But that's definitely the place to be. If anybody wants to know, we have a bunch of speakers on two different stages. Again, go to www.eastcoastparacon.com and you'll be able to hear and see all the.
And don't forget wristband. If you have a wristband, go over to the Trolley Museum.
Trolley Museum.
You can get a trolley ride.
20% off with our wristband, but you need to wear the wristband.
That's it, Saturday and Sunday.
All right, well, I can hear the music playing, so I want to say thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for calling in, the first-time callers. Appreciate that. I'm Joe Hawk.
I'm Stan Zurich.
I'm Ed Mac Daddy Mac Ray.
Don't forget to keep the faith.
And sleep tight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.